Revelation 13. We have two monsters in this chapter. Two. Keep that in mind. We're going to go to monster number two, verse number 11. Revelation 13, verse 11. The Apostle John said, "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. One comes from the sea, this one comes from the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, spake as a dragon. It exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. He deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast," that's important, watch that, "which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed." Verse 16. "And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Father, bless the messenger. Anoint me this morning and anoint your blessed word as it goes out, Father, this year. This truth, this is the absolute truth to judge everything. In thy name I pray, amen. I hope you'll bear with me this morning, please, because I hadn't planned to do this morning, but God wouldn't let me sleep last night. And so it just kept coming to my mind, so I've got to give you what's on my mind. That's all there is to it. I want to sleep tonight. Amen. So this is what I've spent the whole week and some time before studying. I've done a lot of reading in the last few days and last couple of weeks in particular. And I hope that I'm able to give out something to you this morning that'll help you and locate you in the time span that we're living in. I want you to notice what it says in Revelation chapter 13, verse 18. Here's wisdom. "Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. Now, when we think of 666, what do we think of? How do you appear? What's it look to you like? If you wrote 666 out on a piece of paper, what would you put down there? You'd put three sixes. That's what you'd put down. Three sixes, right? Well, that's an Arabic number. And that's a number that wasn't in vogue 2,000 years ago. That's an Arabic number. So what are you trying to say? I'm saying that what you have in your Bible, the sum total of these three Greek letters are 666. And let's look at it this morning. Now, if you take a Bible and do a little Bible study and find what's a Bible interlinear, how many of you know what that is? Well, let me tell you what it is. You've got the English text, or if it, whatever language you're in, it runs this way. Well, immediately underneath it is the Greek text. So for every English word you see, there's a Greek corresponding Greek word to show you the etymology of what you're talking about. Where did it come from? That's what's called an interlinear text. Linear means to go. The linear, you buy a linear feet and you buy a board, you buy the linear feet. Now what we're looking at here, though, is quite remarkable. This is something that I had never seen before until I got into it, and I'm sure God put the thought in my mind. There's three letters that make up this word, 666, all right? Key, which is translated over into English as CH or as an X. Xi is the second Greek letter, which looks like a serpent climbing a pole. And then the third Greek letter is stigma. It's a not like the S in Greek. I want you to look at it. The first five letters, alpha, beta, gamma, delta, epsilon. Those are the first five letters in the Greek alphabet. The sixth letter in the Greek alphabet, does anybody know what it is? You're jumping ahead of me. The sixth letter in the Greek alphabet is zeta. Okay, alpha, beta, gamma, delta, epsilon, zeta. And so if you correspond that into English, it looks kind of like a Z. It's an odd-looking letter, Zeta. But the word, the letter Zeta has no numerical value attached to it. So what did they do? If you get an interlinear and look at it, you'll find these three letters in the text. You'll find Ki, you'll find Psi, and then you'll find Stigma. Ksi is worth 600 points. All right? Ksi is the next one worth 60 points. And then you have 660. So how do you get six, the last one? You get it by the stigma that's added to the end of that word. So what does that mean? The Greek word stigma means mark. That's what it is. Today in colloquial usage, when you say somebody has a stigma attached to them, they what? Maybe been in prison or they killed somebody. In other words, they've got a mark attached to them. They'll carry that. They have a stigma. You can see how the word spreads out and becomes applicable in your culture for your day. So if you were reading a Greek text 2,000 years ago that John wrote, he put this in there. He put X, then he put Kasi, which looks like a serpent climbing a pole. And then he put stigma. The X in the Bible is a curse. The serpent climbing the pole was cursed. And the stigma is a mark. How many of you are starting to catch on with me now? Starting to catch on. What we have, therefore, in the very number of his name is curse, 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 mark, mark, mark. The Antichrist is connected with a curse, and he's connected with a mark, and he's connected with a serpent. You've got a serpent, you've got a mark, and you've got the curse. All that in Revelation chapter number 13 and verse number 18. In 1611, the King James translators translated this Greek into English. They simply transferred over from the Greek text into English and said 666. But you've got to remember, we're coming at that time 2,000 years ago when John wrote this. There was nobody in this world that didn't understand what he was talking about. He was talking about something that definitely they could identify the Antichrist by. Remember now, he has a name, he has a number, and he has a mark. His mark is associated with the number. And his name's value in gematria is 666. Watch for it. Watch for the Antichrist or some Christ or someone to show up, and the gematria of their name will be 666. That's God telling you to look out. Don't be foolish. Don't let that day overtake you as a thief. But to watch, because you're living in a culture and a generation that is about to accept 666. Right now in the Southern Baptist Church, there's a big dogfight going on between conservative Southern Baptists and no doubt a lot of good people over there. I don't question that. But there's a big fight going on between the conservative Southern Baptist and the liberal crowd. So what's the fight? The liberal crowd wants to embrace sodomy and bring it into the church. They want to embrace it. If you embrace sodomy, you embrace the spirit of sodomy. Keep that in mind. You can't have one without the other. Once you embrace the spirit of sodomy, that means you have embraced the spirit of the world. Not the spirit of God or the spirit of Christ. You have embraced that spirit. And that's the first step. Because once you embrace the spirit of the world, you embrace its gods. That's what's going on right now. You are living in a culture that I would never have thought of 50 years ago. We are watching men kiss men on TV. You're watching women kiss women on television. Do you remember anybody calling you up and asking you if it's okay to do that? Was there any kind of a referendum put out across the country where people could vote about whether they wanted to allow women kissing women and men kissing men? No, you can get anything like that. You know why? Because they are an overbearing, overruling, our way or no way culture and they are going to tell you how to think, they're going to tell you how to live, and they're going to tell you how to act, and they're going to ram it down your throat. And if you don't accept it, you are misogynistic, or you are a homophobe, or you're a racist, or you're whatever. They're going to cram it down your throat, folks. And if you don't accept it, it's not only a matter of you rejecting it. They say, okay, that's your opinion, and we have our opinion. No. If you disagree with these people, they will destroy your life. They will take your job away from you. They'll take your property away from you. That, my dear friend, Mussolini never had anything in Italy any worse than that in the 30s. And he was a fascist. So what are we doing? Follow with me, please. The Bible talks about an image here. Revelation chapter 13. What is an image? An image is a reproduction of what it stands for. God said, make unto thee no graven images of anything, especially of me. Why? Because nobody knows what God looks like. The Father is unknowable, unseen, invisible, and the only thing we can know about the Father is through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless the name. So the image has to do not only with the physical part, but it has to do with the inward part. It has to do with the spirit that regenerates, or the spirit that motivates, the spirit that gives life to whatever this thing is. So in Revelation chapter number 13, you have an image, and this image is drawing people to worship. And this image is set up before them as the ultimate goal of mankind. Now listen to me. If you have received the image of this world, and you're probably sitting in here this morning, some of you, and you've received the image of this world. You have received the life of this world because you received its spirit. Once you receive the Holy Spirit of God, you've received the life of God. The Holy Ghost connects you with Almighty God. Imagine, if you are not born of the Spirit of God, you do not have the Holy Spirit living within you, then you've got the spirit of this world. And if you have the spirit of this world, it is going to connect you with the gods of this world. And so there's this big argument among religious people. You've got a church here somewhere, as I told in Sunday school, that says, we no longer believe the Bible's the Word of God. Well, if you don't believe the Bible's the Word of God, what is your show? What is your motivation? What's your inspiration? What are you there for? What's your purpose in existence? But in any event, this is the church, the so-called church in America as it heads into the tribulation period. Don't be part of it. You don't want to be part of it. You want to have nothing to do with it. So you worship what the Spirit is within you. Sodomy will definitely put you in the wrong spirit. Now, there's more than sodomy. There's a lot of other things out there. But if you're embracing it, if you're one of the woke crowd today, then make no mistake, you're headed down the road to the second beast in Revelation chapter number 13. And the day will come when you will worship the Antichrist. Now, how many of you have ever heard of cryptozoology? Crypto. You folks that operating computers, you know what an encryption is. An encryption is where you put something in a codified form, you see. And nobody can read that except you. You've encrypted it. And that's a good thing. That's a safety feature. People need that. Because there are more crooks out there, apparently, than good people in this world anymore. Full of crooks. Don't park your car in front of your house or you get it stolen. Like Tammy Campbell's was the other day. So cryptozoology has to do with that branch of creatures out there that don't fit in the mainstream, like an elephant and a cow, and like a monkey and giraffe and dogs and cats and so forth. These are natural creatures of this earth. Their existence can be proven. There is physical proof that cats and dogs live, because if they die, they leave a body behind. Everything else like that in this world leaves some kind of body behind. Cryptozoology, though, now please stick with me. Cryptozoology deals with a whole world where there is nothing physical left behind. Yet you have thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people that will swear that they have seen everything from Bigfoot, the Mothman, the Rougarou, the Jersey Devil, the Falk Monster, the Dogman I mentioned, the Mothman, and on it goes. These people will swear that they have encountered these things. Cryptozoology, therefore, covers what they're talking about. Somebody said, well, preacher, you're getting off. You're losing it this morning. No, you follow me. Follow me.
Amen.
Because this leads to something. I told you God wouldn't let me sleep. And so I want to give you something today that I firmly believe. If these things are real, if all of this stuff is real, Bigfoot, all this other stuff, give me more than a plaster of his Bigfoot. How about a bone? How about a body? How about some physical thing that can say that these creatures really live? Note carefully. They're real. They're real. But they're not real like that person sitting next to you on that pew. They are real. And here's a remarkable thing about them. You can connect Bigfoot and UFOs and all the rest of it, ghosts and vampires and what have you, werewolves. You can connect them all to one thing. One thing connects every last one of them. Once you get into it, you're drawn into the paranormal or the supernatural. You're hooked. So all of this stuff is bait. It's bait. That's what it is. They're throwing a fish hook out there, and if you bite into it, you're baited. So what happens? We have a materialistic generation. The only value they have in this world is the stuff they own. This is why they have no use for the spiritual world. Yet on the other hand, they're dying. They're dying left and right because stuff will never make you happy and stuff will never sustain you. Stuff will never save you. And man, the Lord said, you don't judge a man by the abundance of the things that he possesses. There's something greater than stuff. But tell it to this materialistic world, this dog-eat-dog, backstabbing world. So what's happening? They're being sucked into something that they have no idea of what the end game is going to be. It's a very, very dangerous thing. Now in the Old Testament, do you remember when Aaron's rod was cast down? What happened to it in front of Pharaoh? It became a snake.
Yes.
All right. And it became a snake. Well, you have Jannes and Jambres, who are mentioned in the Bible by the apostle, or the magicians that created snakes too and brought them into existence. Now you have to make a choice. Either that was a total illusion or that really happened. You just read in Revelation 13 that he had power to call fire down from heaven. Real fire or an illusion? He had power to give life to the beast, to the image of the beast. Somebody said, well, that's easy to explain. It's just a mechanical monster. And all they had to do is plug it into some juice somewhere. And robots that we have today, no problem with that. That's not what the Bible says. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that there is a reality. And the only way you'll understand that reality is to understand the Word of God. You are living in a supernatural age. You're living in a time when UFOs have never been spotted like they have been now. You say, what's a UFO? Unidentified flying object. An awful lot of UFOs up there in the sky are nothing in the world more than misunderstood aircraft. The military is trying to create something or what have you. But there's enough of them out there where there's no explanation for what it is. And just recently, they released the videos of some trained military pilots that videoed UFOs, and they were talking to each other about what they were seeing, and it blew their mind. Now we have them coming out saying, the government is telling people UFOs are real. They're real. That's what the government is saying now. For 50 years, if you believed in UFOs, you were a kook. You say, well, then these are people from another planet. No. This is a reality just as real as Bigfoot, just as real as the Falk monster or the ape man and the swamp man, whatever. Just as real. But the reality is in a different world.
Amen.
Than you're living in right now. You can imagine a grandmother walking into the bedroom and her granddaughter is levitating over the bed. They go to the hospital. The DHS is in there with them in a hospital room with a trained nurse and other people. And the boy literally walks up the wall backward. I've done as much research as I possibly can to see if that nurse, the RN, Willie Will Davis, I think her name was something, and see if she has recanted her story. Because you wouldn't believe, I no doubt, of the ridicule that she has experienced. She has not recanted her story. This is what I saw. And the others in the room did too. What is that? That's supernatural. That has to do with the world. That people that live in the materialistic world. Let me tell you what a materialist is. The only reality to them is what's physical. They deny the existence of the soul. The soul cannot exist as far as these people are concerned. And as far as they're concerned, if you die, you're dead, and it's over with. You die like a dog or whatever. And then that's it. That's finished. The only life you have is the life here. But they're about to be hooked into something they cannot explain. And it's going to suck them right in to the mark of the beast. Now, I've had people tell me the mark of the beast was vaccination. And we've got vaccines coming out. We've got two or three more vaccines on the way. And so there's a big dogfight now about the mark of the beast being a vaccination. The Bible is very clear in Revelation chapter number 13. It's in the forehead or in the hand. It's not a vaccine. The mark of the beast is something far different. It is a mark that the beast will come out with. Are you listening?
Amen.
You may never have seen that mark yet, but it will be a mark that connects that mark to the Antichrist. And the numerical value of that mark will be 666. And there will be a name attached to the mark. And the numerical value of that name will be 666. And when that mark shows up connected to the name and the numerical value of 666, there will also be a connection to the serpent. When the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Yes. He compared Himself to the fiery serpents out there in the book of Numbers that bit people. The Hebrew word for a fiery serpent in the book of Numbers is Nahash. When you go to the book of Genesis chapter number 3 and read about the serpent, it's called a Nahash. All you have to do is get some ancient Jewish commentaries. Ancient Jewish commentaries. You see, the Jews have had the Bible longer than the Christians have.
Amen.
A whole lot longer. Of course, they don't have the New Testament, but they've had their Old Testament for a long time. And here's what they say. They say that that serpent in Genesis was not made with the animals of the earth. They say that serpent, because of its name, was something altogether different from anything else on the face of the earth. And they say that that serpent was probably Satan himself manifesting himself there in the garden in Genesis chapter number 3. Why was he doing it? Let me tell you why. Let me tell you the greatest sin that will happen to you or any other human being. And that is to lose the image of God. If you're a born again believer, do you think God will put His image in hell?
No,
won't happen. Can't happen. The image of God is what they're after. This is why in the book of Revelation chapter number 13, when He raises up an image, just like the one Daniel saw, he had an image. And the numerical value of that image is 666. So when they raise up this image in Revelation chapter number 13, its soul, its spirit, its life force will be the spirit, soul, life force that is all over this world, because they'll worship that image.
Amen.
They'll worship that beast. And that beast, Satan himself, will have a great victory in the sense that he has destroyed the image of God in man. Do you think that it's just, do you think that Satan's work is simply to get you to sin? The Bible says every man sins when he's led away by his own lust and enticed. So what are you saying to me, preacher? You don't need the devil to sin. That's what I'm saying to you. And you get this miserable, ridiculous statement that says, well, the devil made me do it. No, accept responsibility.
Amen.
You did it.
Amen.
You did it. You did it. But no, carefully. You don't have to have the devil to sin. The devil's not interested in sinning. The devil is going to go to the jugular. He wants to go to that part that makes you separate, distinct, altogether from every other creature that has ever existed. And that is that you as a human being, body, soul, and spirit, have the image of Adam, which was in the image of the eternal God. And that's a limited image, but it's still an image, because the Bible warns you in the New Testament, if you slay a man, you've slain the, you don't raise your fist or a weapon against a man. That's the image of God. When the Lord Jesus came, He restored completely that image that Adam lost. And thanks be unto God, because since He restored the image that Adam lost, that means that that beast that raises up that image out there in the plains, like He did in the plains of Dur, in the book of Daniel, will not have any part in me whatsoever. No part in me. No part in me. The Antichrist is connected to a spirit. He's connected to a serpent. And he has a mark. The Gnostic Gospels, written 2,000 years ago by people who claim to be Christians. They're not Christians. But if you read some of those Gnostic Gospels, it talks about Christ shape-shifting. He literally could, in one moment they said he would look like a man, and then in another moment he would look like some kind of a hybrid thing. Now this is written by so-called Gnostic Christians in the first century. What are they saying, preacher? What they are saying happened. They saw that happen. There is no doubt in their mind and in my mind that they saw it happen. But they did not see the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not who they saw. They saw one they thought was Christ, but they did not see the Son of God. But now we have the groundwork laid for shape shifting. In other words, for something that can change its appearance and its nature before your very eyes. And we're ready, and I say we, I speak of this world. They are ready to receive that image, that beast, that evil, godless, rebel against God. The world is ready to receive it. And I hope you don't. I hope I've said enough to you this morning to make you think. The Bible says, he that letteth will let till be taken out of the way. I'm not sure whether that means that all of a sudden he'll be taken out of the way, or he will gradually back off and give you the opportunity to watch it come to pass. I believe in the latter. I believe he gradually moves away and moves his hand off and lets you see what's coming on this earth. Yeah. Because I see it.
Amen.
I see it. If you can't see it, you're blind.
Amen.
Connected with the Spirit. In America, there are so few people being saved. It's like pulling hen's teeth. Yet in the rest of the world, in Iran and in China and in Japan, in the Philippines, all over the world, people are being born again. What's that say for America, preacher? There is a Babylon in Revelation chapter number 17 that controls the finances of the world, the buying and the selling and the movement. There is no nation on this earth that could fit the qualifications of that Babylon like the United States of America. This country right here. So what do you mean? 125, 30 years ago, a guru, supposed to have had enormous power, came from India. He was a Hindu. He had a huge following. He was going to come to the United States of America along about 1905, somewhere in there. And he was going to bring this great movement of his spirit into this country and turn it into a Hindu nation. You know what happened? He got to New York Harbor and he became very distraught, very upset. And they said to him, "What's wrong?" He says, "I cannot enter that country. I cannot go into America. Take me home." Do you know why he did that? Because America had real revivals back then. America was a God-fearing country. America was full of Christian people that prayed. America was full of people that loved God. That was 1905, 10, somewhere in there. That was the kind of country. Now if he came back to America, what would he find in this country? What would he find? Folks, I don't know when the Lord's coming back. I don't. But I watch things. I observe things. I guess that's what God put me for, here in this world for. I watch them. I watch. I'm going to listen to what you have to say. Don't waste your breath. I'm going to watch. Amen. And I watch them. And religion in this country, for the most part, in most churches, is the gate to hell. It's the gate to hell. I'm not saying we're the only ones going to heaven, we're the only ones right and everybody else is wrong. That's not what I'm saying. But if you have any spiritual discernment at all, you're going to say, wait a minute. This thing is not only changing in this country, it's accelerating. Amen. Yes, it is. You ain't seen nothing yet. Yeah. Nothing. You haven't seen anything compared to what's going to happen in this country. And it's coming. And it's coming like a locomotive down a track. And you better be ready. And you better get your family members ready. Because all of this stuff, all of this spiritual world, all of this stuff out here is out there for a reason. And it's got its hook in your jaw. It's baiting you. And all of it is pulling you away from the Lord Jesus Christ. I did a research one time because it came to my mind. I thought, I've never read anything about this. What's going on here? So I typed Bigfoot into the computer and UFOs. And lo and behold, you would be amazed at how many times people that have seen Bigfoot have also noticed UFO activity. In other words, the two are connected. Why not? They're of the same spirit. It is a physical manifestation of a wicked, vile spirit. And people are being drawn into it every day of their life. I'm not talking about what's going to happen 5 years from now. I'm talking about the world you live in right now.
Amen.
Right now. If I were not saved, I wouldn't walk out that back door.
Amen.
I wouldn't get in my car. I wouldn't go home. If I weren't saved today, I'd run down here in this altar. I'd get on my knees, and first thing I'd say is, God, don't let me take that mark. God, save my soul. I don't want to go to hell. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's what I'd do. Are you here today? Does that fit you? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Why don't you come and ask him to save you? Because I'm going to tell you what's going to come to you. When the church is gone, and it's going to go, it's going to be raptured out, and glory to God, I hope it's today. But when it's gone, you're going to be left behind. And you're going to have to fight about the mark. You'll remember what this preacher said. When his mark comes out, you'll see it for his mark. And nobody, I'm telling you right now, nobody, I do not believe, knows what that mark is. That mark is specific to that person. But it's going to be a mark, a stigma. And that stigma is something people are going to take. And he's going to be connected with 666.
Amen.
Amen. You know what the number of the Lord Jesus is? It's 888. Yeah, 888. The gematria of his name. And that's Greek. 888. Why 888? Because the number 7 is perfection. You can't get any better than perfection. So you start over again. And 8 is the starting over again. 888. New beginning, new beginning, new beginning, new beginning, new beginning. The number of the Antichrist is one short of perfection. Man made on the 6th day. And that 6 forever marks him and it marks mankind. 6 comes up short. 6 fails. 666. And that's what he is. He's the enemy of God and the enemy of man. Bow your head for a minute. Father, Lord, I pray that what I've done here this morning, what I've said, is pleasing to thee. I've given them what you laid on my heart. And now I'm at peace. And Father, I tell you, Lord, I don't understand the deception, how great it is, Lord. I don't. Because it's greater than I can imagine. It's got people. It's got people here at Temple. They don't feel any need anymore to pray for their loved ones. They don't feel a need anymore to live for thee. Our Heavenly Father, they're becoming callous and cold and indifferent. And that's only because the spirit of this world now is overruling and overriding everything but the Holy Ghost. I pray for them. I pray in Jesus' name, for Jesus' sake.